On July 13th, more than 1,000 people turned out at Coast Guard Air Station Sitka to honor three service members lost when their helicopter crashed in the water off La Push, Washington. Lieutenant Sean Kruger, Petty Officer First Class Adam Hoke, and Petty Officer Second Class Brett Banks were remembered during a packed memorial service inside the hangar at Air Station Sitka. Alaska Governor Sean Parnell and Coast Guard Commandant Admiral Robert Papp were among those in attendance. Air Station Sitka Commander Doug Cameron spoke at the memorial. He told the hundreds in attendance that he had served with Banks and Hoke before, but had only recently met Kruger.
Yet given the small size and the rotating nature of the airframes in the H-60 fleet, we still have much in common. We've shared the same H-60 cockpits. Our flight boots have worn paint off the deck in front of the same rudder pedals. Our hands have held the same flight controls. And much more importantly, we have both had the privilege of flying with people like Brett Banks and Adam Hoke. So even having just barely met, Sean Kruger was my brother.
Today, nearly 6 months after the tragedy, memorial postcards are still on display throughout Sitka, and a ball field at the city's new Kimsham complex is named for Kruger, who was a well-liked youth soccer coach. Sitkins also said farewell to journalist and author Robert DeArmond, who died November 26th at the age of 99. With his name on 17 books about Alaska history, DeArmond was arguably Sitka's best-known historian, though he shied away from that title, according to Daily Sitka Sentinel editor and publisher Thad Polson.
He would make the very fine point, which most people don't agree with, that I'm not an historian at all. He says, I simply write down the history that's been established. A historian is someone who puts a viewpoint and draws conclusions on what he is writing about what happened in the past. I simply write down what happened.
DeArmond, who spent some time as a reporter covering the Alaska Territorial Legislature, would have had his hands full if he'd worked the political beat in 2010. At the end of May, news broke that Sitka's then-mayor, Scott McAdams, would run for the U.S. Senate.
I approve this message because after you've been cursed at in Norwegian, you can take on anyone.
That clip there from one of his campaign ads. As a Democrat, McAdams was not expected to have much chance against powerhouse incumbent Lisa Murkowski. But when Murkowski lost the primary to Republican Joe Miller, McAdams' campaign went from $10,000 in the bank to more than $1 million by November. And McAdams went from the relatively unknown mayor of a small Alaska city to appearances in the national media. By Election Day, Murkowski had run a vigorous write-in campaign, and McAdams fell to third place, with 23% of the vote. 2 days after the election, he told KCAW that he was happy with his campaign.
You know, I think ultimately there were a lot of Democratic and Democratic-leaning voters who were afraid of the Tea Party Express. You know, we got half of them back over to our camp, and the other half, we didn't have time to peel them off.
McAdams was not the only Sitkin to run for higher office. Reber Stein, then an assembly member, challenged Peggy Wilson for her District 2 House seat. Stein pulled out 35% of the vote to Wilson's 65%. If photo finishes are what you're looking for when it comes to politics, look no further than Sitka's mayoral race, one of the closest in city history. Cheryl Westover won with two more votes than John Stein. The race went into extra innings thanks to recounts and after a delay in receiving absentee ballots. Westover's election left a vacancy, which the assembly filled by appointing Pete Esquiro. Some protested that decision not because of Esquiro himself, but because the assembly passed over candidates who ran in October but lost. It would not be the last political controversy from local fall elections. The Sitka Tribe of Alaska's Tribal Council took some heat from its citizens in November after voting to remove Councilmember George Paul. His removal, plus the appointment of Mike Baines to fill the vacancy, came shortly after Tribal Council elections. Some citizens of the tribe voiced concern about that timing during subsequent meetings and have since threatened to initiate a recall of Chairman Woody Widmark. From the political arena, we travel now to the legal arena. The year 2010 was not without its crime headlines. The former chief operating officer of Alps Federal Credit Union is heading to prison after admitting that she took about $190,000 from the institution. Vicky Weedenoff was fired in March and sentenced on December 17th to serve 2 years behind bars for embezzlement. State cold case investigators brought some resolution to a 22-year-old Sitka murder. In January, Jane Reth was arrested for the 1988 death of her husband, Scott Coville. Coville and Reth were living in Sitka when Coville went missing around the time of his 26th birthday.
He was very outgoing, very gregarious, loved people, all kinds of people. He was not judgmental. He liked people.
That is Scott Coville's mother, Rita, talking to KCAW shortly after Reth was arrested in January. Rita Coville said after her son disappeared, she spent years having feelings toward Reth that, in her words, were not kind and loving. But after a while, she said she let those feelings go.
I feel so sorry for her because I can't imagine what her life has been like all these years either.
Earlier this month, Reth pleaded guilty, and Rita Coville listened in by phone. Sentencing was set for March. Time enough, Coville said, for her to make travel arrangements to Sitka to be present at that hearing. Reth's sentencing will come just about a year after the February sentencing of Jason Abbott. In 2008, Abbott, then 18 years old, killed his grandparents, an aunt, and the aunt's boyfriend at the family home on Monastery Street. He also attacked another aunt. Abbott received 140 years in prison from Sitka Superior Court Judge David George, who told him that his actions impacted the entire community.
Sitka is a small town. We pride ourselves on being able to leave our houses open and our cars unlocked. And not only have John Abbott and Alice Abbott and Charles Tate and Elizabeth Abbott been taken from their families and loved ones, this community is never going to be the same.
2010 saw some happy times as well. The city was named one of 12 distinctive destinations in the country by the National Trust for Historic Preservation. It hosted a conference of scholars on Russian America, and there was even a giant birthday party, not for a person, but for a park. That's the sound of a raven's tail robe being unveiled at Sitka National Historical Park. The park celebrated its 100th anniversary this year with a festival that began in March. Terry Rothkar wove that robe. It took her 2,000 hours over 2 years to complete.
You know, I want that to be looked at 200 years from now and go, huh, so that's what they were doing at the turn of the century. It's like, oh yeah, and maybe there'll be everybody dressed in these. Or maybe there'll be nobody dressed in these. I don't know. How important is it as a people for us to continue these kind of relationships?
As the park celebrated its long life, the Sheldon Jackson campus just down the road lost what might have been a chance at new life. The University of Dubuque walked away from a deal to manage the campus after 2 years of talks with the leadership of the school. In the months since, college president David Dobler was removed from his job and replaced with an interim manager, John Holst, and parts of the property have been divided off and sold in an attempt to pay down debt. One of those properties is the Stratton Library, which was sold to the State Division of Libraries and Museums. Its collection was put up for public sale this month. Ginny Blackson was the last librarian to oversee the collection.
48,000 individual books, most of which are part of a general liberal arts academic collection. You walk into any small liberal arts college in America and those books will be there. There are novels, there are educational materials, there's literary criticism, there's really something for everyone.
If there's a book yet to be written about SJ, the chapter on 2010 will introduce a lot of new characters. Youth Advocates of Sitka, the Sitka Summer Music Festival, Sitka Counseling and Prevention Services, the SJ Daycare Center, and the Sitka Sound Science Center all have acquired parts of the campus for their own use, and a coalition of arts groups, including the Sitka Fine Arts Camp, has expressed interest in the future. Life in Sitka in 2010 was about more than the contents of this story, of course. It was about days at sea, victories on the field or diamond or court, birthdays, deaths, commutes, conversations. We will have all of those things again in 2011, and like every year, we will be here with you, watching, learning, and reporting. In Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.